Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show each and every week. Hey, listen, if you do hear the show, you can hear it all kinds of places, right? We're on 5 radio stations, 3 different states. We're on 8 different podcasts. We're even on a new podcast. Daryl, what's that new podcast now?
That is called podclips.io.
Okay, excellent. And there's a lot of great financial information there. But you listen on the radio, you listen on the podcast, you go to YouTube, you see the show, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. Click on that, you say that you like it. Just do that. It's really good for the show. It's good for people who need the information. It helps out your neighbor. You know somebody's trying to find out, how do they get a mortgage? What are they going to do when they get a mortgage? Is now the time to do it? There are all these kind of questions. What kind of product am I going to get? Is my FICO score terrible? What do I have to put on my loan application? How do you fill out a loan application? All of this information is within the show, within what we do here each and every week. And what we try to do is bring to you that information, not just me, some guy on the radio talking, but experts in the field, people who've been in the field for over 20 years, whether they represent a lender, a bank, whether they represent escrow or title, whether they represent processing or other kinds of things, whether they're inspectors or people in the decorating business to try to make your home look as good as possible for the sale in order for you to go out there after you get that money and find your next home. There are a lot of reasons why you need to listen to the show. And again, if you go to these sites, whether it's the radio show or whether it's the podcast, click on that you like it. Join, sign up. It really helps other people. By the way, this show is sponsored by Malibu Funding Inc. And their website is MalibuFunding.com. And that company has 50, 60, 70 different loan officers in 15 different states that you'll be able to click on, interview, look at what they do in order to get yourself somebody who knows the business. The only people that work at that company are people that have been in the business probably on average 10 years. So getting an experienced loan officer to walk you through this stuff is important as the information you get on the radio show, which is, of course, The Mortgage Voice. And again, I'm Jeff Barton, and thanks for listening to the show. Now, we have seen some things go on in the mortgage news to use section. We have seen in the last 30 days, post-election, post-inauguration, the mortgage market has increased its rates. And okay, what are the rates? Everybody know, anybody who's trying to get a mortgage knows that. But for you out there that don't know, because you haven't begun your shopping or you have stopped looking for the refi for whatever reason, understand mortgage rates will go up. They have gone up. They were, let's see, let me just quote you what the rates are today. 30-year fixed rate loan is at 3.26%. The 15-year is at 2.62, FHA is at 2.75, the jumbo is at 3.35, and the 5/1 ARM is at 2.60. All of these prices are actually down a little bit from where they have been yesterday and last week. Now, why are prices going up? They go up for a number of different reasons, and we've talked about all of those reasons on the show. I will say that these rates are going up because people see the light at the end of the tunnel, and therefore they invest in other things other than treasuries. Now, the 10-year treasuries are what we're guided by for the rate in the mortgage market. In normal times, and I put that in huge quotes, in normal times. This is not normal times. And since the Fed has stepped in and is buying $40 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities every month and $80 billion worth of treasuries every month, you can see how that purchase of treasuries might tilt the scale in somewhat in keeping either yields down or prices up. So this is what's been happening. Now, we're returning more to a normal market where we're going to see investors, people who are looking to make money, look for opportunities beyond the safe harbor of a 10-year treasury at a half a point yield, right? So they've been doing that. And as a result, the debt, which is the 10-year treasury, has to increase their payoff or the yield, the amount of money they make on a yearly, in order to attract buyers. So we've seen that particular number, the yield, rise to where by now it's a point and a half. That's 1 point in less than 10 months. That's a lot for any commodity or any particular type of investment for 1 year. The reason is, as I say, is as the economy is improving. Last month, February, what did we see? Jobs report, 60,000, 70,000, 80,000 new jobs. It was going to be, or purported to be, about 180,000. So we doubled the amount of jobs that came in February, one of the worst months in the country for hiring. Now, why is that? Because with the vaccine, you're seeing people who are looking beyond the time when this pandemic is not got us in its grips, right? And because of that, they're saying, okay, there must be investments out there that we can make more than just your simple half a point. Treasuries, mortgage-backed securities. So treasuries themselves, the yield has been upped. We're now at a point, 1.545, I think it was today. Now, what does that mean? It means that you're in a mixed bag here. You're going to see that jobs are coming back, which is a good thing. You're going to see that the pandemic, the virus is more under control. 20% of U.S. residents have at least one shot, right? That's 60, 70 million people. That's a lot of people, you know? I think, well, what do we have, 320 million people in the country? 330, let's say, so that's 600. That's about 67 million people is 20%. That number is going to increase and continue to increase through July, when we're all expecting to go back to the ball games, to eat hot dogs outside with our friends, and to have, you know, 4th of July picnics. This is what the anticipation is in the marketplace too, when everyone's thinking, okay, so maybe we can make better money than buying treasuries. So treasury yield has to go up. And all this, what does all this mean? It means the rates are going to go up. So the rates going up is a bad thing. We went from, in February, where the rates were a half a point lower, half a point lower. Your 30-year fixed rate loan in February 11th, 2.75. Today, 3.29. That particular number, and the fact that mortgage rates have increased by half a point in 1 month, means that 6 million less people can get a mortgage today and benefit from it on a refi than could February 11th. Because today, that number of increased, you know, half a point means that it just doesn't make sense for a lot of people, 6 million people. One third of the people who could have gotten a refinance mortgage and benefited from it on February 11th, today, middle of March, cannot do it. What does that mean? Well, you snooze, you lose. Look, if you're out there right now and you're debating, don't debate. What you need to do is get up and call somebody to get a mortgage. Now you can call me, or you can call the number of different people that are going to be on the show today. I have three different mortgage companies coming on the show today. And we also have back with us Dr. Bertoli, who's going to talk about some of the constraints and why people don't do what they should do when they know they should do it. What is the inertia behind that, and how can we overcome that? If you're thinking about that refinance mortgage and rates are going up, but you can still benefit, make a decision and then be comfortable with it. The decision is either do it or don't do it. My suggestion is do it if you have a financial benefit. Don't wait. Rates will not go down. They are going up, and this is a trend. And by the way, they're still pretty darn cheap. 3.25% for a 30-year fixed is smoking loan, ladies and gentlemen. A year ago, you would have jumped at the chance, because rates a year ago were 4.25%. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, voice for the mortgage industry. This is The Mortgage Voice, and thanks very much for tuning into the show. and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening to the show, tuning in each and every week. We bring to you mortgage and real estate information, information about how you deal with what's happening in front of you. What's happening right now today is that mortgage interest rates are going up and the real estate market is tight, i.e. there's none of it. Real estate markets across the country have less and less inventory all the time, and therefore prices are going up and up and up, as also mortgage rates are going up. So if you're wanting to buy, if you haven't bought, now's the time. And people are always looking for the best, the lowest, the cheapest. Sometimes getting in is the best way to do it in terms of both what's happening with COVID, what's happening with, you know, the related problems inherent with that, with the families, with all other things dealing with the psychological morass, which is our daily life today. I asked Dr. Jeannie Bertoli to come back to the show and talk to us about some of the difficulties and then maybe some of the solutions. And I welcome her back to the show. Dr. Bertoli, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me back, Jeff.
Thank you very much as well. Okay, so you heard the quick intro about what we're trying to do about what's happening in the country with people who are either unwilling or unable to make decisions based either on the pandemic or based on they're just inertia against trying to get in on low interest rates. How do you advise people or help people who are trying to make a decision but can't in any of these big life issues, mortgages, real estate? You know, these things are life altering if you buy right. How do you advise people to make decisions, not necessarily whether it's, you know, for or against?
First of all, I would say people need to be honest with themselves. COVID has been a long time, we're at a year now, that mm-hmm. our lives have been dramatically altered, or most people's lives have been. So I think it's very important to be honest with yourself if you are filled with anxiety, struggling with depression, struggling with your weight, your finances, not to see anything as a quick fix, right? So.
Right.
When you are a little low or a little anxious, having an anchor like a new home can be a wonderful choice. It's very important to, first of all, be together with your partner and not do something unilaterally on such a big decision, but also to be grounded in, does this align with our goals? Is this a push for us financially? Is this a financial savings for us? What will this mean in 3 years or 5 years? Are we sure this is where we will stay, even if the economy goes one way or another, or if one or both of us needs to change careers? These are super important questions to ask, because real estate can be a wonderful choice or an impetuous one with some serious impact, depending on one's answers.
I agree with that 100%. And because you have a unique position whereby you help people with this kind of issue and problem, and you're also in the business and understand the difficulties or the issues with it yourself. How do you deal with it personally? And then is your advice the same, and how you advise other people that you're trying to help in a therapeutic situation?
Well, as somebody who owns 7 properties, I have thought, because the inventory is so low, as you said, I mm-hmm. have thought of divesting myself of a few of those properties. I'm still debating that.
Mm-hmm.
It puts me in, feels like more of a powerful position as an owner. And that's always a good feeling. And personally, I think I also am taking my own advice in not being impetuous with any decision, but to sit down day upon day and really see where I land, you know, see where it's a different energy. Now that people are getting vaccinated, that the country is shifting back into
right.
hope, some light at the end of the tunnel, and some real hope for normalcy or some beginnings of normalcy. So we are going to shift in how we're feeling. We are going to shift in our goals and desires, and we can't just expect that this is what I feel today and this is what I will feel a month from now when I'm returning to commuting and restaurants and everything else.
Yep.
So be cautious.
I think since the election, the inauguration, and obviously the vaccine, yes, three different things which have changed the course of the way people feel. It just does. Whether you're for or against or, you know, happy or sad, it has changed. That kind of national change is what I think you're talking about. I agree with all of that. Individually, you can get swept up in that. How do you not be swept up in it? Like, you got to refi, the rates are going up. That's sweeping people up into something that, you know, maybe they don't want to do. Like you just said, maybe I don't want to sell, even though I'm in a powerful position.
Right.
How do you... Pardon?
And once you do sell, it's done.
Right.
You can't go back on a decision like that. The same thing with buying. That's why I would just strongly say, with all the heightened emotions that we have based on social isolation, based on the mental health challenges of not commuting, being in our homes for so long, et cetera, there are so many things that we're feeling now that we aren't necessarily going to feel in 6 months, which doesn't mean it's not a good decision.
Right.
It just means be cautious. I can tell you this, my mother just died, and I am seeing a grief counselor who is saying to me, don't make any major life decisions in the next 6 to 12 months. And I am saying to him, I'm feeling such different things so strongly that I'm actually thinking this is like truth serum. This feels like I am more myself now than before. So, again, I think you have to know yourself. Does this feel more like you with the reawakened or awakened energy and emotion that you're feeling? So is this like a suppressed version of yourself now alive? Now you're new and now you feel like, wow, this is really me. I am free of that career or free of whatever bind you were in. Or does it feel like now you're in a suppressed or oppressed version of yourself? Right? So those answers are
different on you. You need somebody to bounce that off of, a significant other, a friend, a therapist, because making decisions when the last person you want to be talking to is the person inside your head. Because sometimes in all of that, you get mixed.
You're so right. You need these trusted individuals who you know you, right? And will be honest, but not critical.
Right. Oh, that's key. That is key. I mean, I think the ability to be able to have an honest conversation with somebody and not feel attacked or not feel defensive in either case is the way that you know, if you have a trusted friend or advisor, somebody in your life like that, that's great. I mean, I can talk to the dog all I want, but the dog never really talks back. So... You know, I know, and I know you have dogs, so, you know. Okay, so we are coming into a hopeful period. That's the way I feel. I've come to this after many, many years, I guess, of feeling bad. And I think that has to do with the climate the country is in, so the COVID happening, people going back to work. I think that's all a good thing. Do you think there's a challenge to be over exuberant? What I mean by that is, you think people are going to go hog wild when this pandemic may be over? Maybe, you know, let's say July, end of July, people are going to be, you know, 56. Go on, sorry.
Sorry, Jeff. I do think you're right. I think there is a concern that people will go hog wild and be somewhat reckless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, if we can just kind of come into some balance and be indulgent, but not put ourselves in more debt. That's the last thing people need.
Right.
To set themselves up for another 5 years, you know, by getting a $1 million house when you can afford a $250,000 one.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. People just throwing caution to the wind because Hey, listen, Jeannie, we're up against the clock here. That's a fast 10 minutes. You want to tell people how they can get a hold of a great professional, if you would? That'd be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can reach me at drbertoli@gmail.com or go to my website, drbertoli, drbertoli.com. Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Thank you, too. We didn't get to the books. We didn't get to this so much, but I feel and really appreciate you coming on the show today. It must be a difficult time, and again, I do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening each and every week. We're on five different radio stations, from Albuquerque up to Las Vegas, Nevada, up to Central California in the Tahoe area at K-Tahoe, and of course at most of our flagship stations in the Inland Empire of Southern California, San Bernardino and Riverside, KMET and KCAA. We're also on eight different podcasts and a new podcast. Daryl, you got a list of those for us, please?
Yeah, I do. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and the brand new one, PodClips.io.
Go to podclips.io. I'm pushing them. They're great. And if you go to any of these things, hear me anywhere, say you like it, join up. Let other people in on the little secret we've got here, which is the secret to mortgages and real estate is education and knowledge. And the only way you can get that is either you study or you listen to a show like today. With us in that regard is a great guy who has come to us before, Patrick Washington from Luxury Mortgage. And he's here to talk to us about programs, what their company does. Patrick, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, guys.
And thank you very much for coming back to the program. How has the world been treating you since the last time you were on?
The world has been treating me very well, actually. You know, very pure luxury. You know, the world has obviously changed a lot, you know,
yep,
not just here, but around the whole entire world, right? And, you know, as far as being a mortgage company, we're very thankful. During the whole pandemic lockdown last year, we didn't have any layoffs at all. We were able to retain everybody. And, you know, we were down 3.5 months. I think we shut down maybe March 23rd of 2020. And by July 3rd or 4th, somewhere around that time, we were back in the business. And since then, business has been booming. So yep, definitely very fortunate.
Okay. Tell us about the main focus of what you do at Luxury and how you're able to help borrowers either get a refinance or a mortgage.
Yeah, so Luxury Mortgage is actually, just a quick history on Luxury, is actually been around 20 plus years, maybe 25 or more, as a jumbo lender, right? So one of the products that we do have here is a prime credit jumbo. I mean, that's been Luxury's staple for over 20 years. But as the most recent, I would say within the last 4 or 5 years, we've been acquired by Starwood Capital Group. And if you don't know about Starwood Capital Group, you know, that's the proprietary investment firm or whatever, Starwood Hotels, Marriott Hotels, Envoys, Payloft Hotels, and many other investments. And so, which is one of the reasons why we didn't have any layoffs during the pandemic. We had the financial backing to retain everybody. And so what we do here at Luxury, since, you know, the acquisition, Starwood acquired Luxury, non-QM loans is our bread and butter, the backbones of Luxury now. So obviously agency turndowns is, you know, if you have a loan that doesn't fit agency for whatever the purpose may be, whether it be a bankruptcy season, short sale, foreclosure, ratios. I mean, I don't know. We don't wholesale. We don't originate agency loans here wholesale. But for whatever the reason the turndown would be, mainly for self-employed borrowers, you would want to bring your bank statement borrowers to Luxury Mortgage. We just enhanced our guidelines 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Now we can do 660 credit score, 90% purchase up to $1 million with 12 and or 24 month bank statements for a self-employed borrower, that's actually pretty aggressive compared to what's out there on the market right now.
Where do you see the market going this year? I know we've seen a rising rate climate, but you're not really rate conscious at Luxury, right? I mean, not as much as, let's say, an agency or conforming house might be.
Well, correct. So from the non-QM perspective, we're probably priced top, you know, in the game, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, some of our competitors, you know, what they're, you know, if they change every day or what their situation is, but from the non-QM market, we've been hanging in there tight. I know last week the 10-year bond and things were treading in a direction that didn't look good. And from some friends that work as AEs at other agency lenders, that their rates were starting to go up, right? Which is somewhat of a good thing for us being non-QM. Yep. We're not 100% dictated based on, you know, the government, right? Because we're not a government-backed mortgage company.
Right.
Our products are not insured by that, or I guess you can say however that is with agencies. So, you know, I always, people ask that question. I talk, you know, have conversations with brokers and other loan officers, processes and things like that all the time. And that question has came up. And the only thing, I got into the business at a very young age, in the early, late 90s, early 2000s, and there was
right.
one called subprime back then.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of look, this is just me, and I could be wrong, but I kind of see that the market is going to shift to a point where we're going to be originating more non-QM loans than agency loans. Whether it be closer to the end of this year, going into early next year, I see the market just drifting that way.
Okay. I agree with you. I think what we're trying to do, the company I work for, Malibu Funding, is to shift the focus away from the refinance, which of course is going to dry up when rates rise, to obviously a non-QM purchase market. And I think companies like yourself are going to be able to capture a larger share of the marketplace simply because you have a track record, you have products, and you have financial backing. And that is so important in the non-QM sector, which really has been dictated by the availability of money and whether your warehouse line is going to be existent tomorrow if the market gets shaky.
I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. I really do. I don't, one of the main things here at Luxury is, you know, when you say purchase too, right? I would say the last couple months, not just me, a lot of the other AEs here. Listen, man, just because somebody is using bank statements doesn't mean they're not a prime borrower, right?
Correct. It means right. That
their accountant or whoever does their taxes was really good at doing their taxes, and their tax returns don't work. I mean, even if I'm doing non-QM loans, but I'm getting credit scores 780, 804, 812.
Right.
They're not non-prime borrowers. It's just the doc type that they have to use to get the loan done, right? And so. There's a lot of self-employed borrowers, man, including myself and a lot of the ADs here. Luxury is really strong when it comes to big jumbo loans. I'm talking about 2.5, 3 million, 3.5, I've done up to 7 million. Obviously, you know, the LTV have to be worth it, right? But,
right.
You know, we have that capacity and we have that ability here to do that. And that's one of the advantages by having, like you said, that money source being backed by Starwood. We make our exceptions are internal. We do not price loans to, you know, we price loans for to get a securitization price, but when we close a loan and we get our price, you know, our rating through the rating agency and things like that, those loans go on our balance sheet. We're not trying to put loans in a bulk and sell them off to the highest bidder, you know, like most other companies do. We have the capacity, we're balance sheeting these loans. So by doing that and having that capacity, which really sets us apart from everybody else, the ability to do the exceptions that nobody will have.
Well, you said it. If you have borrowers who have FICO scores above 700, all the way up to 800, and they're using a different method to prove ability to repay on a product like a jumbo or a super jumbo, these are excellent loans. You have the capacity and the ability, makes you really an attractive, and the rate is not necessarily the primary reason you're getting that loan.
Correct. I agree. I mean, you know, for a while, I think the average FICO score in the company that we were getting was like 730 or 740. Imagine that, right?
Yeah.
Average FICO score, 740. So, it, you know, these loans perform. You know,
they do.
And I haven't heard of any foreclosures. I haven't heard of any defaults.
Right.
Servicing is not complaining and coming back to us and asking us to call the broker and tell the broker to call his client and make his payment. You understand what I'm saying? It's just,
I do.
It's the income doc type that we have to use to get the loan for the borrower. That's really what it is.
Patrick, we're against the clock here at 10 minutes. That was a very quick 10 minutes. I want to have you back again. It's always great to talk to you, and I appreciate it. Could you shout out a phone number or a way by people can get a hold of you if they want to talk to you about jumbo loans?
Absolutely. Patrick Washington, you can look me up on LinkedIn. Patrick Washington, you'll find me. The employer would be Luxury Mortgage. That's one. That's the only business social media that I have and use. You can also send me an email directly if you have any questions. If you're another broker out there who's listening and you have a loan that you need to place based on some of the things you heard here, you can send me an email at pwashington, P for Patrick, Washington is the last name, at luxurymortgage.com. And then my direct telephone number you can reach me is 949-558-6450. Once again, that's 949-558-6450.
Patrick, thanks a lot for coming on the show. I do appreciate it. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
All righty, guys. Take care.
Okay, and that's Patrick Washington from Luxury Mortgage. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show each and every week. We bring to you guests. We bring to you people who try to help you, whether you've got decisions on mortgages, whether you have decisions on real estate buying or selling. There's so much going on right now, stress-wise, whether you're a political person, whether you're a COVID person, whether you're just trying to get back to work. There's all stressors on so many people. Figuring out what to do, whether you're going to get a mortgage or not, shouldn't be one of them. So we try to bring that information to you to help you out, give you the tools you need to make good decisions. We're bringing to you today, once again, April Lopez from Nations Direct, a terrific company, terrific account executive in the mortgage business. April, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today, Jeff?
You know, I'm okay. I've been better. I've been worse. But that seems to be the way it is with the COVID vaccine and virus, whether you have one or the other. I myself have received two shots. I don't know if you have, but I feel a little bit better about that. How about yourself?
You know what? I have not received my shots, nor have I got COVID, but I feel great. I feel like I pretty much have a strong immunity. Everyone around me has gotten COVID. But I feel that I'm just being very mindful to make sure that I'm watching out for others and making sure I don't get anyone sick.
Yeah, in an environment that we work in, where we're constantly, at least on paper, around a lot of different people, borrowers, different loan companies, loan officers, it's really difficult to be able to maintain strict adherence to, being safe. And to do that, it's not easy. And I understand it because I'm in that business too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not easy. I feel for those. I finally recognize that, it really, truly affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, it has. So let's talk. First off, let's talk a little about the market conditions that we see ourselves in, a rising rate market, a war going on between the two biggest mortgage originators in the country. How does any of this benefit a borrower?
Well, I feel that when COVID started almost a year ago, we weren't sure how this market was going to be, real estate or banking. And, fortunate for the real estate and banking, it flourished. Right. And we have been busier than ever.
Yep.
So we started off with low, low rates. I mean, lower than we had traditionally seen in, over a decade. And so once that happened, it was a great benefit. So those who were affected by COVID, there was some benefits of being in forbearances, but also benefits with the low interest rates to actually save them money during these tough times. now, coming out of the holidays, we're significantly low. And just as of recent, the rates started to trickle up a little bit, you know, kind of a, you know, increase, you know, definitely not as high as anyone was, you know, it's definitely still super low, but we're starting to see a little inflation, as they would say, and so we're seeing a little bit of increase in rates, but I don't feel that it's, you know, all it has done, because if I switch my hat over to real estate, we still see a low inventory market, so we're seeing, you know, even with these rates being up just a little, and I mean, really, they haven't significantly gone up, that people are still buying, and there's, you know, more product coming out, and I think that, you know, we're going to continue to have a steady flow through the end of the year. I do not think rates are going to drop. I think they're going to continue to be steadily where they're at.
Me too.
I don't think they're going to increase tremendously, but I think you're going to see a little bit of a increase, and then it's going to just kind of stabilize.
Okay, tell us about some of the programs over at Nations taking advantage or helping borrowers in this particular market get into properties.
Well, you've seen that we've opened back up that non-all-prime product, the non-QM all-prime product. So we are giving the borrowers, you know, in this market, we're giving the borrowers who want to become first-time investors or buy some property with a low interest rate, we're giving them the opportunity to do that on a DSCR product. And
right.
We're expanding because the value, the median price has gone up, you know, exponentially over the years, and it's at its all-time high, that we're being able to expand out and get some all-prime, like, jumbo product with higher debt-to-income ratios to help those clients who might not fit traditionally at a B of A or Wells Fargo, to get them into a home that they can afford and that they want.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, using the rent to pay the debt service of the product on the loan, what you call the DSCR. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. So basically, the way that an investor or a bank likes to look at a investment property is, how is that property going to debt service that mortgage payment? So
right. We
look at it as down payment. So we have a buyer who is putting down 35% down payment in a perfect world, that if that property debt service is 115% of that mortgage payment, then we're going to give them a 30-year fixed loan at 4.99, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
And no prepay on an investment property. So we want to encourage these new investors and in this market where the rents are high, rents are high in Los Angeles County. So all of the properties are debt servicing here, and they're going to get the advantage of a 30-year fix, even with an interest-only payment at no additional cost, at 4.99. And that's unheard of, because those kind of clients are usually going to hard money and getting an 8% or 9% interest rate.
So the 35% down, what kind of occupancy? Let's say it's a four-unit building. Can the person who is getting the loan live in one of the units, or is this strictly a investment situation?
Strictly business purpose investment.
Okay.
So they definitely cannot be living in it. But the good news is, even on 3 to 4 unit properties, there's no price adjustment for that. Like I said, no price adjustment for an interest-only payment. So there's a lot of benefit to that debt service product.
Now, when you give out that kind of loan, how do I put this? There's a lot of issues with renters right now. Renters not being able to pay, renters getting into a property, having a moratorium on their particular rent because they asked for it. Now, I know that's going to end in July. How is that affecting the loan, or how are you checking on that particular situation? Or are you relying totally on, you know, the leases are written up?
You know, it's funny. When it came out, everyone was so worried about that.
Right.
And what we're seeing in the Los Angeles market, because there's very limited inventory in just rental properties also, we're not finding that a factor in homes, 1 to 4 unit residential homes. You're seeing more of that, I think, in the apartment arena.
I see.
I find, right? Because we haven't, you know, had an issue, but I will tell you, some lenders are requiring proof that rent had been received last 3 months. us at Macy's, we're not asking for that. We're going off the good faith of you've got a lease agreement.
Right.
And we're going to qualify you off that market rent off the appraisal for that property.
Yeah, I know that it always, this type of loan has been coming and going throughout the pandemic, right? Some lenders will bring it out, some will back it off, some will increase the down payment, all kinds of ways by which it can be adjusted. It's just interesting because I think it's a terrific loan. I love the loan as an investment vehicle by which, you know, obviously if you're moving, let's say from California and you're selling something here and you're moving to Vegas, you're going to have a lot more money out there to spend than you do here. On a property, getting into something like this as a residual income, as you buy something for yourself, but also buy an income property, is just a great idea. So I was just obviously looking to see how you all were handling.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now with COVID and families having to work from home, they're needing bigger homes, right? So the benefit of it from the real estate side is that they're now going from a smaller home that they own to a bigger home, and now they've gotten some future ROI on their residence they're vacating, and they're buying up. So now you've got a family who gets a bigger home so they can work and go to and school in, plus they've now got to keep their original residence as a rental. So it's like a win-win for these buyers because they're able to get some investment income, some, you know, on the property they're vacating, and plus being a bigger home and make their family happy.
Yeah, that's a great point, April. Listen, we're up against the clock. I'm sorry. I wish we had more time. I'll have you back again soon. I always love having you on. And could you give somebody or who's listening out there looking for your information to get a hold of you to ask some questions about the product?
Yes, April Lopez, 818-398-1272.
Well, thank you very much, April. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yep, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. That's April Lopez from Nations Direct Mortgage. They lend all over, I think 50 states, if I'm not correct. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. You can hear us on a number of different radio stations from Vegas to Albuquerque, New Mexico, as well as up into the Central California, in the Tahoe area, and certainly in the Inland Empire, reaches into LA and Orange County and some of those other places in San Bernardino and Riverside counties. And thanks very much for listening. Daryl, we're also on a number of different podcasts. Can you shout those out for me, please?
Thought you'd never ask. Apple Podcast, Google Music Play, Spotify Speaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and Podclips.io.
Excellent. Podclips.io is the new podcast that we're on. A lot of good financial as well as other health information, just useful information. Go there. Help those people help you by going to them and making them as popular as I think they'll become. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, and thanks again for listening to the show. Let's get to a couple of other items that I didn't get to earlier segment. One of them is the refi boom. We did touch on a couple of the numbers in this refi boom as we talked about how the rates rising the way they have really lessened the amount of people who could participate and gain benefit. In mid-February, as I said, we had 18 million people could benefit from a refi as late as February 11th. Today, 12 million people. One third of the people cannot. Why? Because rates have gone over 3.25%. That's an amazing thing. But that's what happens when you snooze and you wait and you don't act upon it. 2.8 million homeowners refinanced in the fourth quarter of 2020. 2.8 million homeowners. And the mortgage originations last year, guess what the number is? What the dollar figure is to the amount of originations, Daryl? Can you guess? I don't know why I say that.
No, it's obviously the billions.
Trillions.
Trillions, like the national debt.
Exactly. This is a number that kind of shocked me when I saw it. $4.3 trillion in mortgage originations in 2020. $4.3 trillion. This dwarfs anything that happened in the past. It's such a huge number. Okay, we just had a $1.9 trillion stimulus package passed in Congress, about ready to go to the president's desk. Last year, we had two stimulus packages, one for $900 billion and another for $4 or $5 trillion. Add all that stimulus up, and it still doesn't equal $4.3 trillion in the mortgage business. That's how big we are. That's how much it impacts everybody on a daily. Most of these were refinances. And for those of you who got a refinance and are saving money and have low payments, great. Because you're going to get in and have gotten in on one of the biggest benefits of living in the good old USA. It's home ownership. Home ownership is how you get rich. Owning your home, paying it off, you have an asset that's worth way more than you paid for it normally. Now, when I was a kid, okay, this is back in the 50s and early 60s, right? Born in 55. But if you bought a house, and back in those days, you know, we were still in the post-war era, right? You could buy a house, I mean, right here in where I live now, but back where I used to live in Massachusetts, $5,000, you were buying houses, right? But you were lucky when you sold that house, and most people live in that house forever, to get your money back. That's the way real estate was in those days. In here in the Valley, we're talking about Los Angeles, California, probably some of the military towns like down in Albuquerque and out in, what's the Air Force base out in Nevada? McGillis?
Yep, that's one of them.
Okay. All of these military boom towns that were financed by the GI Bill, these houses were 5,000, you know, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 GI Bill, go to college, get a loan, a VA loan, pay off your house or to pay the mortgage, you know, to get a loan for the house, you pay the mortgage, it's guaranteed. That's what it was then. Today, the key to your financial success is in your home. Now, why do I say this? Because you don't have to be clever. You don't have to reinvent something. You don't have to be an entrepreneur. You don't have to start your own business. You don't have to fight your way up the corporate ladder. What you have to do is make your monthly payment for 30 years if you have a 30-year fixed. At the end of that, your house is yours. It's paid off, and you got a chunk of change in your house. Can you pay it off in 30 years? Most people can. I mean, if you look at the unemployment numbers, and by the way, the unemployment numbers, we talked about it earlier, really were huge. The people added to payroll last month, 380,000, so 200,000 more than they thought. This is spectacular. And I talked about earlier how the economy was getting better. The vaccines, you know, obviously increasing every day, every week. We see bigger numbers. Fewer and fewer people can get infected. That gives optimism to people both in the investment community as well as people who want to buy a house. Rates go up because the demand for that particular product is less, so they have to up the yield. Therefore, the demand on treasuries is what it is. I didn't check the price on treasuries. So what is happening overall in the economy and how it's happening to you? Let's talk about that. How is it happening to you? Are you one of the people that still doesn't work? You one of the people out there who's still trying to find that job? I got kids who are trying to find, you know, full-time work. One son who has a full-time job and another son who is struggling to find that job. I have a daughter who's entering the workforce this year. Where are those people going to find jobs? Where are they going to find internships? All of this unemployment situation is affecting me and my family, probably you and your family too, if you have an extended family like I do. Kids, grandkids, you know, nephews, nieces, people who need to get into the workforce. Maybe yourself, maybe you're out there and struggling, looking for work. Well, this year, by July, you're going to have your answer. Instead of 11 million people out of work, we're going to probably have more like 6 million people out of work. We're going to put a lot of people to work very quickly in this country. And that bodes well for everything except real estate prices and mortgage interest rates. So if you have an opportunity to get into the market now, that's a good thing. Let's talk a couple other things. Okay. My father-in-law said in 2007, when there was the mortgage meltdown, I don't know what you call it. I hate it's called now the Great Recession, right? I hate that term too. But whatever had happened there was blamed on mortgage brokers and the mortgage community. My father-in-law, brilliant guy, said, oh boy, mortgage brokers will be a thing of the past. You are going out of business, sell, get out, go into something else. He was wrong. So my own dad said back in the mid-60s, the NFL, National Football League, it's gone, it's dying, it's going to be out of business. And he was wrong too. What do these two men have in common? Is that institutionalized money makers don't go anywhere. They just don't. There's too much momentum, and if you're making a buck, you're not going anywhere. We just saw the five biggest mortgage companies in the world go public. So they went public to sell stock. So once you sell stock, you're not going out of business. You're just going to change your business model and try to whatever it is you need to do when you need to do it. Those companies are making money. The NFL, they just add more teams. They're not changing. They just move cities. They're making money. What does this mean about you? You're out there. You want to get into the American dream. I'm pitching housing. I always pitch housing. I hate when there's discrimination in housing because it hurts all of us. I know you don't think so, but it does. Get invested in the house that you want to buy. That's the way to get in on the dream here. I'm going to pitch it until you can afford it, until we can get you a loan, until we can get you in that house. We'll see you next time. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks, Larry, very much for listening to the show. And again, we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.